Welcome to Eucharist Podcast, where we're exploring what it looks like for a community of disciples to live all of life in reference to Christ. The following is a sermon given by Father Ryan Jones on the first week of Advent, November 28th, 2016.
Every year in late November, I read news stories of people who are trampled on or shot or otherwise harmed in the attempt to get into stores to get the great deals offered on Black Friday sales. And this year was no exception. I don't know if you saw this, but at least two people were shot in Black Friday skirmishes this year, somebody in San Antonio and somebody on the East Coast near Atlantic City. We're in the midst of what could appropriately be called the season of desire. All around us, we're surrounded by advertising, by promotions, by discounts, by sales, all signs that demonstrate that our consumer culture is whirling away at full throttle, and it's all being driven by desire. Now, whipping up the desire necessary to create the billions of dollars of sales each day this coming month doesn't happen without a lot of work. There's nothing natural about Black Friday. Let's just be honest. There's nothing natural about it. There's a whole division of labor in our society tasked with cultivating desire. Every year, advertisers and marketers, they have to get more and more clever in order to drum up the desire in us. Advertising and marketing is all about cultivating desire. Both creating new desires that you didn't know that you have, because you didn't have them, actually, until they started telling you you needed them, and also feeding and fueling the desires that you have sort of latently within you. That's what Madison Avenue is doing. Now, it's easy to make a punching bag out of advertising and marketing. And I'm not going to do that today, actually. The same thing that makes advertising and marketing so powerful is also what makes love so powerful. It's desire. In countless ways, our lives are driven by desire. And by the way, this isn't a recent discovery of Madison Avenue or psychology. Ancient observers of human nature have known this for ages. The church has long known this. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to us to learn that the Christian year, which starts today, as I said earlier, begins with a season focused on desire. Advent is about longing. It's about expectancy. Now, in some ways, Advent and the American consumer culture at this time of the year are parallel to each other. Both Advent and the American consumer holiday season are about desire. But the American consumer holiday season is about cultivating shallow desires that can easily be satiated. It's about fulfillment and gratification of desire. Advent, on the other hand, is about the cultivation of unfulfilled and substantial desire. It's about deepening a sense of longing that is humanly impossible to fulfill. Advent exists to remind us that we don't desire enough. It's there to confront us about the weakness and shallowness of our desires. Now, many people are under the false pretense that for Christianity, desire is the problem. Actually, they think that desire is the enemy that must be defeated. But the truth is exactly the opposite of that. The real problem is that our desires are woefully underdeveloped. C.S. Lewis, in his famous sermon called The Weight of Glory, makes exactly this point. I quote him, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." We don't know how to long with a deep and abiding, unfulfilled sense of desire. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to really live expectantly. As Lewis says, we are half-hearted creatures, thinking about heart as the seat of desire. And as such, we lack capacity to take in the glorious wonders that God has prepared for us. We're like people who show up at Thanksgiving dinner having snacked all day long on potato chips and Twinkies. In front of us is a spread of some of the best food of the year, but we can barely shove in a few mouthfuls because we have no more capacity. In order to take in the fullness of the feast of the Nativity of Jesus, which is what we're looking forward to, before we can fill our souls with the brightness of the incarnation of the Son of God in human flesh, we need to cultivate a sufficient hunger. That's a major goal of ours for the next 4 weeks, to get hungry, to increase our appetite, to increase our capacity to hunger. Physically speaking, I'm doing the opposite right now. I had a little too much at Thanksgiving, so I'm trying to shrink that. But we're doing something different with our souls right now. Our desires are not too strong, they're too weak. And that's why we need Advent. Advent comes with a lot of, Advent comes also with a kind of kick in the butt. There's kind of a pull element to it, and then there's a push element to it. The pull element is about desire, as I've been describing, this hunger, desire that kind of pulls you along. The push element comes from the fact that Advent is not just preparation for Christmas. It's not just creating capacity for the full remembrance of Jesus' first coming. It's also about being reminded of Jesus' second coming. It's a reminder that we live within a particular timeline. You see, Christians aren't merely people who live with a different set of ethical convictions. Christians also live according to a different understanding of time. Christians orient their lives eschatologically. Now, that's a big theological word. What it really means is that we live in reference to God's judgment. We live in reference to the end of all things breaking in towards us. We live expectantly. There's a day about to dawn, and we are called to anticipate it. That's what the gospel reading from Matthew was all about this morning. The passage from Romans this morning also captures this. Paul says, "You know what time it is. How it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day." Advent is an invitation to live as people of the day while it's still dark. Did you catch that? There's darkness all around us. The day hasn't dawned yet. It's not clear. But we're called to anticipate it and to live as people of the light, people of the day while it's still dark. Some of you know that Elizabeth and I had the chance to go on vacation with my parents a few weeks ago. They very generously took us with them to a resort in Cabo in Mexico, at a place that looked over the ocean, and it was absolutely beautiful, really wonderful. Sadly, we got sick on the last day there, which you can still hear my voice. Now, for some reason, Elizabeth and I woke up the second morning we were there early, and we noticed that the pre-sunrise sky was absolutely gorgeous. Basically, from that moment on, every morning Elizabeth would crawl out of bed at around 6 in the morning. She'd run over and throw the blinds back to see what the sky looked like. And the hope was that if it looked beautiful, we'd go out. She'd drag me out of bed and we'd go on a walk on the beach together while the sun rose. It was cool for about 1 or 2 days. And then I was like, "Hey, honey, we're on vacation. Like, I want to sleep in." But Elizabeth never got that memo. Every morning, she was like a little girl waiting to go downstairs to open her gifts under the Christmas tree. She would drag me out of bed in order to make me that person of the day while it was still night. Now, I'll admit that the sunrises were beautiful, but I wouldn't have seen most of them were it not for the kick in the butt from Elizabeth. Advent plays the role of Elizabeth. It tells us in the words of Paul, "Hey, get up. You know what time it is. How now is the moment for you to wake from sleep. The night is far gone. The day is near." Truth be told, if you're like me, you need both the push and the pull of Advent. You need both sides. Let's talk for a couple moments here about some practical ways of deepening desire during this Advent season. What can you do to increase your capacity for desire? I have some suggestions, and I would like you to listen to them prayerfully. You need to, if the Spirit tells you to do any of these things, then do them. But these are suggestions that I have here. First, what if for the next 4 weeks, you took time to cultivate intentional daily silence in your life? Daily silence, intentionally. Not just when you happen to not be doing anything, like, oh yeah, there's nothing happening. But like you carved out a time, 15 minutes maybe, and you just sat still. It wasn't for doing readings of scripture or for, you know, checking your iPhone or whatever, just to be still. We're surrounded by all kinds of noise this time of year. Christmas music already going on, right? Flashing lights, ringing bells. This, in addition to the constant noise of already living in an urban environment. What if you took time during Advent to intentionally cultivate daily silence in your life? Sometimes the deeper desires, the ones that we care about most deeply in our soul desires, they get buried under the shallow ones. Which takes me to the second suggestion I have. What if you disciplined your desire through fasting for the next 4 weeks? Fasting is not a very popular idea in our culture. People don't really do it much. Even Christians don't do it much. Traditionally, Christians have fasted on a meal or done something different with our diet on Wednesdays and Fridays. That's just been what Christians have done for 2,000 years. If you are not already practicing that, maybe that would be a good place to start. Maybe drop a meal one of those days. Maybe then you could put your 15 minutes of silence in where you would have been eating. Or maybe you should just alter your diet in some way. Drop something out during Advent, kind of like what we do for Lent a lot of times. It's a 28-day period, so it's a little shorter. And Sundays are off. They're feast days always, right? But what if you dropped something out of your life? Again, creating space, creating capacity to desire. For me, I've decided I'm going to remove news and Facebook. I kind of compulsively go and read the news when I'm not doing something else. It's kind of a slothful practice. It's when I don't want to do something else, I avoid it by going and reading the news. So I'm going to drop the news, reading the news out of my life, and I'm going to try to drop Facebook other than stuff I need to do for work. Something like that might be a good idea. Remove something from your life. There's a Orthodox theologian, a guy named Callistos Ware, who says, the primary aim of fasting is to make us conscious of our dependence on God. When you take things out of your life, you start to feel like something's missing. You start to feel like you need something. Okay, so the first one was intentional daily silence. The second one was disciplining your desire through fasting. The third thing I'd like to challenge you to do is to lean into scripture reading in the season of Advent. Now, we have these scripture readings that are on the back table we provided. Some of you know that many of us try to structure our whole daily life around three times of prayer together. We have this little prayer book which helps gives us a rhythm to do that. In the back of this existing one is a lectionary that has texts for each day. And if you do it throughout the year, it'll take you through the Old Testament once every 2 years, and the New Testament twice a year. So you kind of get a diet, a balanced diet of getting a lot of New Testament reading and a lot of Psalms as well. Now, this book just expired. The lectionary expired in the back. So we printed off some special readings for you. And I think it would be an incredible thing if our community was reading Scripture together daily through the time of Advent. Desire is closely connected to faith. And in Romans 10, Paul tells us that faith comes through hearing the word of God. It begins to narrate for us a kind of alternate world. I was talking to Kyle a few weeks back, and he was talking about the great broadcaster for the Dodgers. I can't remember his name. What's his name?
Vince Scully,
who retired. And we were talking about how in another era, people would keep track of baseball games primarily by listening to the radio. They weren't there. They couldn't see what was going on. But constantly streaming into the radio was a description of what's happening on the field, who's up, how many strikes, how many balls, what's happening with the pitching, and all that sort of stuff. And people could imagine the game. It was not something they could see visually. They weren't there, but they could imagine and feel what it was like. Scripture plays that sort of role for us. It describes an alternate world. Think of today's text that we talked about in Isaiah 2, beating swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. Those are great, great visual images here of taking implements of warfare, of destruction, and making them into implements of agriculture and farming and abundance and peace and joy and goodness. We can't imagine, oftentimes, a world like that. So we need the scriptures to marinate our imaginations, we need to soak in the scriptures. Advent is a season to do that, to deepen our longings for the world as God desires it to be. Fourth, I'd like to encourage you to enter into the symbols and rituals of Advent that create a sense of expectancy. The church has provided us some really wonderful rituals and symbols, and these are means to an end. They're never ends in themselves. They're means to deepening our love for God. So, for instance, we have this Advent wreath up here. An Advent wreath is wonderful. You light one candle per week, right? You're moving yourself steadily towards the culmination of all the candles being lit. It's just a sense that we're not there yet as you're lighting that. We have an opportunity this week, which I'll mention in the announcements. We're going to offer a wreath-making evening. We have all the supplies for you. This is super, super easy for you, right? We provide all the supplies for you, including the branches and the candles. All you got to do is show up and make yourself a wreath. And you can bring some people with you if you want to. We have some extras. But we're going to make our own Advent wreaths that we'll have in our own homes so that we can light the candles throughout the week. Lean into that ritual. Make it different. Another one is super cheesy, but we're providing Advent calendars for everybody, thanks to TJ's, to Trader Joe's, who offer these for 99 cents. So they're all up there on the back table, and everybody's supposed to get one today, one per household, please. We have a bunch back there. And so take one of those and poke a hole open each day, and you get the chocolate out of it, right? I guess you can't take chocolate off if you're going to do the calendar, so don't fast from chocolate. But this is something simple. It's something you lean into. Every day, opening another door, preparing yourself for what is coming. This may be a little counterintuitive, but here's another suggestion. I grew up in a family that didn't really celebrate Advent. We didn't know much about it. We always got a Christmas tree. I have actually discovered that a Christmas tree is one of the most wonderful Advent rituals, and here's why. It sits in your house, and gifts collect under it, and you don't open them. You look at them, and you wait, right? So actually, a Christmas tree can be a really good Advent symbol or Advent ritual if you want to. So actually, Elizabeth and I got our Christmas tree. It's just sitting in our house right now. We haven't even decorated it yet. But we're going to kind of add to it and expect and wait for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day when you open your gifts. It's a great little ritual to do that. One more thing under symbols and rituals here. Be at worship. This is not rocket science here. Come to church every Sunday during Advent. Be here as we light each of these candles. Make that the rhythm for your life that anchors your weekly rhythm. The fifth and final suggestion that I have for a way to deepen our desire. Join with others who are cultivating desire. Join with others. Desire is deeply social. Do you realize that? We tend to think of desires as being buried deep inside of us somewhere, like it's some sort of a strictly internal thing. But it's not that simple. We naturally begin to desire things that people around us also desire. Let's just put it this way. Our desires are at least highly influenceable. That's exactly why marketing and sales works, right? You see other people desiring something, you want it. Sometimes Elizabeth will be at home and she'll ask me, hey, like, what do you feel like for dinner? And I'll be like, I don't know. You know, I'm not really that hungry. And then she'll say, I was thinking about making some soup and having some of that leftover bakery bread tonight. And all of a sudden, I start getting hungry for soup and bakery bread. I don't know why. It's just how it works, right? I just needed someone else to name it for me. I needed to be around somebody who was desiring something. And all of a sudden, there were my desires. We need each other to help us mutually deepen our desire for God and His kingdom. We need each other. So during Advent, we're going to offer a lot of activities together our community groups are joining together to do midweek groups. We have this big Advent party we're going to do in about a week and a half. We're going to have movie nights that we're going to suggest people go together to go watch a movie. And there's lots of great stuff we can do together. We can build a sense of communal life together, desiring Christ. So those are the five suggestions I have. And I don't know if any of them resonate with you. I would encourage you to pray about that, to deepen that. And it's sort of pragmatic, what I'm suggesting, but I think it's worth thinking about. As we close, I want to put this all in perspective. It would be easy for us to get the idea that Advent is primarily about us and about our desire for God. But the real story of desire in Advent is not our desire for God, but His desire for us. We're always and forever responding to God's gracious initiative. And Advent is no exception to this. God always initiates, and we always respond. Our desire is simply a response to His deep desire for us. While we spend 4 weeks leaning into longing and expectancy, we should remember that Jesus, in His first coming, spent nearly 40 weeks in utero alone. Right? That thought ought to blow your mind. God incarnate lived inside of Mary for nine months, waiting to just come into the world. If there's anything clear from the story of scriptures, it's that God is the greatest desirer of all. His desire for us is so strong and so deep that He cannot be dissuaded by our foolishness, by our selfishness, by our weakness, and even by our repeated blatant disregard for Him. This puts our longing in perspective. May our longing deepen. May it deepen that we may at some level match His deep and abiding love for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Take just a moment of silence as we receive this. Oh, Father, we thank You for the incredible amount of love and desire that You have for us. So much love that You would not leave us alone, that when we ran away, You came in search of us, that You sent Jesus to come and dwell among us, that You sent the light into the darkness. We pray for ourselves. I pray for these brothers and sisters of mine, that we together would be people who live in anticipation of the day, as light in dark places, as people whose desire is increasing for You day by day. May this be true in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the Eucharist Church Podcast. Check us out online at www.eucharistsf.org and feel free to come worship with us any Sunday, 10 o'clock at 1504 Bryant Street, San Francisco, California.